Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 398, the stanzas 1 and 2. The Lord upholds the faltering feet and makes the weak securely stand. The burdened ones bow down with grief, are held by his most gracious hand. And what follows? Psalter 398, the first two stanzas.
Thank you.
a portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together. It can be found in Psalm 116. And afterwards from the Confession of Faith, Article 35. Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, and therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death can pass me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant, I am thy servant, and the son of thine handmaid, thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. From the Confession of Faith, you can find it on page 22 and 23. Article 35, and we shall read the first three paragraphs. The Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. We believe and confess that our Savior Jesus Christ did ordain and institute the sacrament of the Holy Supper to nourish and support those whom he hath already regenerated and incorporated into his family, which is his church. And now those who are regenerated have in them a twofold life, the one corporal and temporal, which they have from the first birth and is common to all men, the other spiritual and heavenly, which is given them in their second birth, which is effected by the word of the gospel and the communion of the body of Christ. And this life is not common, but is peculiar to God's elect. In like manner, God hath given us for the support of the bodily and earthly life, earthly and common bread, which is subservient thereto and is common to all men, even as life itself. But for the support of the spiritual and heavenly life, which believers have, he has sent a living bread, which descended from heaven, and namely Jesus Christ, who nourishes and strengthens the spiritual life of believers when they eat him, that is to say, when they apply and receive him by faith in the Spirit. Christ, that he might represent unto us this spiritual and heavenly bread, hath instituted an earthly and visible bread as a sacrament of his body, and wine as a sacrament of his blood, to testify by them unto us that as certainly as we receive and hold this sacrament in our hands, and eat and drink the same with our mouths, by which our life is afterwards nourished, we also do as certainly receive by faith, which is the hand and mouth of our soul, the true body and blood of Christ, our only Savior, and our souls for the support of our spiritual life thus far. We hope to remember in prayer Mrs. Emily Vandervane, who was privileged to come home from the hospital, Mrs. Elida van der Bruinhorst, who was admitted to the hospital yesterday, and Miss Miranda Vandenberg, who was admitted to the Calgary Hospital today. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord, when thou hast gathered us and our children within the walls of thy house, and may it please thee to do for us what thou hast done in the realm of nature, where thou hast given gentle rains upon the earth, wherefore we may thank thee, wilt thou send down the showers of thy Holy Spirit upon us and our children. Give a thankful heart for all the blessings in the midst of the trials of life which thou hast given unto us, and that in this evening hour that we may lay our labors aside, and may it be indeed so, and to hear what thou hast to say unto us, where it is a week of preparation. O Lord, thou knowest who are thine. May it please thee also in this hour to convert the unconverted. Wilt thou remember thy Zion? They are so dependent upon thee. It is the Spirit that makes room for spiritual blessings, for the meditorial work of thy dear Son. It is the Spirit that grants that spiritual thirst and appetite, and it is also the Spirit that fulfills that thirst and appetite. Wilt thou do it in this evening hour, May there have come up souls indeed with a vehement desire for their faith to be strengthened concerning the dear Son of God and their lives more holy. O wilt thou grant unto thy children that tender walk, afraid to offend thee, to wound their conscience, to bring darkness, a reproach upon the holy gospel. Wilt thou grant unto thy children more humble, more holy, and more thankful, and that only through him who has loved this people from eternity, thy dear Son, whom has given himself as the Lamb of God, and thou knowest where thy people dwell, thou knowest where they are encamped, and thou knowest the assaults upon their faith, and that they can come very low. Oh, may it please thee to bless thy word, may it be, as we read, as with those travelers to Emmaus, that their hearts begun to burn when the scriptures were opened concerning thy dear Son. May it please thee on the coming Sabbath day for thy true children, that they may be fed with that heavenly manna and with those everlasting waters. May their eyes be upon thee. May the prayers be multiplied. Wilt thou grant those special exercises, oh, to be administered out of the fullness of grace and to receive grace for grace? Wilt thou send forth thy light and truth to be our guide, the psalmist of old has declared, in thy light we see light. We commend thy church all over the earth unto thee, the persecuted church, the beloved for the Father's sake, and all mission work. May the kingdom of Satan be broken down, and thy kingdom expanded and established, that many may be placed under the banner of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be enabled in thy strength to fight the battles of the Lord, because thy people experience that without thee they can do nothing. But it is also written that the apostle has declared, I can do all things through Jesus Christ, who strengtheneth me. We commend unto thee all the sick and afflicted, those that are at home sick. Wilt thou remember the family circles, and in a special way, the mothers with the unborn. May it please thee to overshadow them. We remember a mother who was unable to return from the hospital, where the doctors have discovered that it was not what they feared it to be. Wilt thou now grant further healing? Sanctify the calling in the midst of the family circle. An old mother was admitted to the hospital with great back pain. Lord, wilt thou help the physicians? Wilt thou remember her on the bed of suffering? Oh, may this calling be used for her eternal welfare. Do remember her with her husband in Bethesda. And then we commend unto thee the daughter who by renewal was admitted to the hospital with unbearable pain. Ah, Lord, May there come a solution. Wilt thou uphold also father and mother? And then thou continuest to knock on the door of her heart. My daughter, give me thy heart. Oh, come then down with thy spirit, so we can mend unto thee all the sick and afflicted, those undergoing treatments, may they be blessed. Wilt thou remember all with crosses and burdens? Remember the handicapped ones. And Lord, do remember all the mourning ones in our midst, where there are many among young and old. Wilt thou remember the elderly ones? And now we humbly ask thee, Lord, for thy help and for thy blessing. May it be a good hour in thy house. May it be experienced the Lord's special presence, the special favor and blessing, and that with the realization, Lord, if thou would deal according as we deserve, then thou would have to pass us by. But may it please thee to dwell richly amongst us, ride then triumphantly upon the apparel of thy holy word. May there be many a errands in hers, also many an empty vessel that needs to be filled, and those vessels that are still so full of self and of their self-righteousness and of the world, may they then be emptied. May our eyes be upon thee. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 426, the first five stanzas. I love the Lord, the fount of life and grace. He hears my voice, my cry, and supplication, and what follows. Psalter 426, the first five stanzas.
Thank you.
this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Psalm 116, the verses 4 through 9. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Our text words speak of the psalmist's continued soul exercises concerning the Lord with four thoughts. First, the psalmist's prayer for the Lord's deliverance. Secondly, the psalmist magnifying the Lord's attributes. Thirdly, the psalmist received bounties from the Lord. And in the fourth place, the psalmist godly walk before the Lord. The psalmist continued soul exercises concerning the Lord. The psalmist prayer for the Lord's deliverance. The psalmist magnifying the Lord's attributes. The psalmist received bounties from the Lord. And the psalmist godly walk before the Lord. Beloved congregation, verse number 4, that begins with then. And that was a prayer, we have heard it in the first two verses, the life of the psalmist, that was a life of prayer. But now in verse 4, then by renewal a prayer, but it was a special prayer because we have heard that there was an unbearable burden, an unbearable need. We have heard it on the Sabbath day, the sorrows of death, and that word sorrows that refers to a cord as a creditor that binds a man. The sorrows of death can pass me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. And then we read, then called I upon the name of the Lord. And then his condition, he is further explained in verse 6, where he is confessed before the Lord, I was brought low. We read of different ones in the scriptures that were brought low. We even read of souls that were brought very low. In Psalm 79, verse 4, when the psalmist was given to lament his condition, when the enemy has come, burnt the city, the temple, brought into captivity, then the psalmist was given to say that they were brought very low. And also in Psalm 142, verse 6, and that was a psalm which David penned when he was in the cave. And then he has declared, when my soul was overwhelmed within me, and then thou knewest my path. And then in verse 6, and then he was given to declare that he was very low. And thus in our text words, and then we have a child of God. Oh, it is true, his needs have been many. But in our text words, it was a particular need. It was a heavy burden. And with that heavy burden, there was a then. And that was granted by the Spirit of God virtue, the mediatorial work of Jesus Christ. And then we have heard the past Sabbath day that this psalm was sung. At least the Jewish tradition tells us that also this psalm was sung at the Passover. And thus then it was in the context of the Passover lamb. And they were in Egypt, we read in Exodus 2, that they have groaned, that they have wept, that they have cried unto the Lord, that they may be delivered. Oh, for the children of Israel. And then there was a true then. And then we read that the Lord has heard their groaning. And then he has sent Moses. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. And then he has expressed, O Lord, that was an O of faith, that was an O of love. We have heard it from verse 1, and we have sung it together. I love the Lord, because he has heard my prayer and my supplication. That was an O of need, that was an O of urgency, that was an O looking to the covenant God, because Lord, all in capital letters, that is Jehovah, the everlasting covenant God. And then he has prayed a special request, I beseech thee. And those words in the Hebrew, that refers to the present, that means now, Lord, my need is great, my sins are manifold. And then he has prayed, deliver my soul. And then we have mentioned this solemn, not excluding outward and external circumstances, but also concerning spiritual circumstances. And that word soul in the Old Testament, sometime it refers to the life of a person, but other times to the inner being of the man. And now David, the psalmist, was given to express, O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. We have heard from verse 3, when the creditor comes, when justice demands payment, then we stand as a guilty sinner before the Lord. Oh, then what a wonder. That's what the Lord's Supper speaks of. That also with the Passover, it is true, the psalmist, he was brought low. But now the Passover lamb all pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was brought very low. Never has one upon this earth been brought so low into such depths as the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We read of him in Matthew 26, verse 37, that Jesus began to be sorrowful. And then there is followed, and very heavy. Why do you think, boys and girls, that Jesus, that he became very heavy? Oh, the love of the Son of God and his willingness, that he was willing to take all the sins of all his church upon him. And therefore he became very heavy. The wrath of the Father pressed him down. Oh, see him then in the Garden of Gethsemane, where the Psalmist of Psalm 22 verse 6 has expressed, I am a worm and no man. And then further it is written, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. And now the broken bread and the poured out wine, that speaks now of the wonder of salvation. And now when the psalmist, it was a real petition, it was an urgent petition, came out of the bottom of his heart, that went to the Lord, and now concerning the deliverance of a soul, then he became exercised with the attributes of God. And people, when the Lord works with his Holy Spirit, then we become exercised with the attributes of the Lord, and we learn to love them all. And a blessing when a poor sinner may be given to bow before them all. And now in our second thought, then the psalmist was given to magnify the Lord's attributes. And then for such a psalmist, as in Psalm 116, then those attributes, they receive great value. For the child of God, it is true, it all comes from above. The Lord can grant sweet meditations when the Lord opens his word, who the Lord is concerning his attributes, but they become especially exercised with the attributes of God when the Spirit uncovers them to their sins, their lost condition, that they have come very low, and that for a people that have tried and cannot save themselves with the burden of their sin, then they are given to look upwards and ask whether there is a way. And now the psalmist in this psalm, then he has begun, gracious is the Lord, because when the Lord works, then we are given to experience that the Lord is so good, that he is gracious and very long-suffering, that he bears with the sinner as I am, and even with broken vows and promises, promising to do better, and to experience a sinner still. And then that word gracious, that signifies to give, but it also includes to give freely without price and without money. The Lord is gracious in meriting and granting those precious benefits for his church. Then he is gracious also in the way of providence, because the psalm does not completely exclude outward circumstances, and also for the child of God. And then in the way of providence, it can go in such deep ways that they know it no more. But now the hope of the psalmist was that Lord Jehovah, that he is gracious, but not only gracious, then we read, gracious is the Lord and righteous. And that's what God's people learn. And when we read of the righteousness of the Lord in the scriptures, then in a twofold way, then the Lord is also righteous in punishing the wicked and rewarding the righteous. And that is also a comfort for a church that needs to be delivered from the enemy. And we have mentioned there are different thoughts, perhaps by David, by Hezekiah. They both knew of those enemies. If we think of Hezekiah with the Assyrians, with Rabshakeh, who was mocked with his God, then the Lord has taken it up for him. And the Assyrians, an angel has come and destroyed 185,000. But when we read of the righteousness in Scripture, then it also refers to Jeremiah 23, verse 6, the Lord our righteousness. And in Psalm 71, verse 16, I will make mention of thy righteousness and thy righteousness only. And that refers to a merited righteousness. The righteousness which Christ has merited for his church. Oh, the Passover lamb. We have mentioned before, boys and girls, maybe you can remember that lamb. Three different colors. Can you remember them? Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ as the Passover lamb. Perfectly white. Not one speck of black. Because he had no original and no actual sin. But the willing lamb was willing to come completely black. And that was because Jesus as the Passover lamb, read in 1 Peter 1 verse 19, without spot, without blemish, then the Father has laid his hands upon him, as we read in the Old Testament, as was done with the sacrifices. And then that lamb became all black because of the sins of his people. And because he has become black, the lamb had to die. And to that end, the lamb became red. There the mystery is declared. How is it with us, congregation? Have we become exercised with the attributes of the Lord? Gracious, good doing, but also righteous, which flows forth from his perfect holiness, that God must punish each sin which I have committed. Has that ever become our burden and our question? Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, continue to beg of the Lord that he may teach you those matters. Because we need to be converted, we need to be saved. And sin must be punished, justice must be satisfied by us or by another. But now in the Old Testament, or more so in the New Testament, that the Lamb of God, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And to that end, in Psalm 85, verse 10, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. The Son of God has made a way that all the attributes of His Father, that they are harmonized and that they are glorified, and that poor sinners may be saved. Also richly portrayed for the child of God in the broken bread and the poured out wine. And then the psalmist has added, our God. Then he has added that word, our. That is so necessary that by the grace that we may use those words, the church can be so timid and they can have so many riddles. But now the blessing of the psalmist with the increase of faith, then he was given to say, our God, and then he includes the church of God. Our God is merciful, and that word means to love very deeply, speaks of tender affections, has a reference to the womb. Thus that means to pity poor sinners and to supply all their needs. Our third thought, the psalmist received bounties from the Lord. And then we read further, the Lord preserveth the simple. And that word simple, that means to be foolish, not so wise, easily led astray. Read that word in Proverbs 22, verse 3. A prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. And the child of God, they learn that they are such a simple one. When the Lord stops a sinner and they are given to reflect, then they learn that they were not so prudent, that they did not seek a hiding place, but that they only lived for the time, lived here, as if they had no soul, no eternity. But now the psalmist was given to call himself a simple one, that even after the child of God's eyes are opened, then they are so ignorant in heavenly ways, also how they can be saved, then they do not immediately flee to that hiding place, the strong tower, as they read in Proverbs 18, verse 10, then how busy they are under the taskmaster of the law, making those bricks, trying to satisfy justice. But it is now the work of the Spirit to teach His child that no fruit from this tree forevermore. And now the wonder for the psalmist, that although he was simple, that he is old, that he was not so wise, the church, they need him as prophet. And blessed that people that may sit as a Mary at his feet to be instructed in the things of the Lord. The Lord preserveth the simple, and he helped me. Oftentimes given to see it in the way of reflection, that under difficult ways that they were given to wait upon the Lord, he helped me. And it is necessary that they are led further, that they understand where that help comes from, because they read in Psalm 89, verse 19, I have laid help upon him that is mighty, And he has declared to us, church, in Matthew 28, verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and upon earth. Oh, it is true. When the Lord begins, then they shall experience much of the providential dealings of the Lord. But now the blessing, when they may come to a knowledge of the dear Son of God, and that they may need him continually as King, always sitteth at the right hand of the Father, and from thence he gathereth, he defends, and preserveth his church. And then we read further. Then the psalmist is given to speak to a soul, a dialogue. And then the psalmist is given to say, return unto thy rest, O my soul. Thus that means that he was a very restless soul. And the Lord, as a people upon the earth, to know what it is to be a restless soul. One place to the other, it is true. There are times that the Lord grants us Elam. It is a privilege when at the end of the week, on the Lord's Day, return unto thy rest, my soul, when they may hear their heart and life declared, when they may be given to rejoice with great rejoicing, when they may hear their heart declared. But now the psalmist, after that urgent petition, oh, that implies that the Lord has answered, O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul, because the Lord has a people that needs a soul that needs to be delivered. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. And then further described, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee, the soul be not so discouraged and not too dismayed. Strove in the Passover night, still in Egypt, angel of death would come, and who were most distressed, boys and girls, were the firstborn. Have you ever become such a firstborn? That it concerned me. Busy with death and with eternity. And needed to be delivered out of the house of bondage. That you have groaned and wept. Oh, in Egypt, there was no rest. They were so restless. They were smitten by the taskmasters. Even at time that the little boys, that they were murdered. But now the psalmist is given to speak to a soul. O my soul, why art thou so cast down and disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O return unto thy rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with thee. O we read also in Psalm 142, of when David was in the cave, bring my soul out of prison, then the righteous shall gather round, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. And now in this psalm, in verse 7, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. Then we may see it so, that the soul is given to speak back, and that the soul is given to ask, can you now expound on it? Can you not explain it? Because he need a rest that is given by the Lord, has to be on a good foundation. because I can like to think that I have come to a certain rest. But it is a rest that has to come from above, and with the glorification of all God's attributes, it is a rest that the Lord also knows of, and the devil shall also know it, because the devil loves to pester and assault this child concerning that rest. Ah, then the devil can come and say, it is not for you. But when we read, return unto thy rest, O my soul, O, then there is an explanation given when the soul, as it were, asks, but can you now explain, can you now affirm it, that I have received that rest? And then the psalmist is given to mention 3 points. The first one is concerning that rest, for thou hast delivered my soul. And that is only possible by grace. Only possible by a triune God. Election of the Father, the redemption of the Son, and the application of the Holy Spirit. And that now becomes the need and the desire of the living child of God. They need to be instructed. They need to be led into the mysteries of salvation. And that they can only return to that rest. And of course, there's only in part here below. The full rest that is kept for above. Hebrews 4 verse 9. There it speaks of the eternal rest. Here it is only in part. But when the Lord now grants it, and when he grants unto the true child of God faith to embrace it, and they may give unto see it, and it may be applied, then may say what we read in this solemn, delivered my soul from death. Oh, concerning that deliverance, read a little further in the Psalms, Psalm 124, that there be many say, who shall show us any good? But in Psalm 126, verse 3, the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. He has delivered my soul. And then secondly, return unto thy rest, mine eyes from tears. So that means that the psalmist has shed tears. And we all shed tears because of the consequences of sin. But now the people of God, they have other tears. And they are the tears of that godly sorrow, that godly missing, but also of a godly joy. Psalmist in Psalm 56, verse 8, then the psalmist has asked, are my tears not put in thy bottle? Because if there is that true missing, let's take an example. A husband and wife, when they truly love one another, and let's take, we think of World War II, then husbands have bid farewell to their wife, not knowing whether they would see one another again parents to their sons, what do you think, congregation? Do you think that was all dry-eyed? Then surely, then floods of tears have been shed. And when husband and son would return again after a long time, then would there not be tears of joy? This not only have to be in war, still happens in our day when there is a separation for a while. That is so difficult, that is sorrowful, then tears shall be shed. And now, when the Lord works by His Spirit, and He shows us that we have sinned so grievously against such a gracious, merciful, and just God, and that our sins, that they grieve the Lord, and that they cause that separation, shall there then not be tears shed? Read mostly of tears in the book of the Psalms and in the book of Jeremiah and his lamentations under the judgments that would come, judgments that have come. Then many tears were shed, and of course it begins with self. But I also read in Psalm 119, verse 136, that rivers of water run down my eyes, because they keep not thy law. Thus also a sorrow concerning the sins of our fellow man, that the Lord is provoked, and that for our fellow man, that they bring judgment upon themselves. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the tears have been dried. O, when a child of God may be given to behold by an eye of faith in the way of revelation, the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb, that has been sacrificed, then they are given to rejoice that there is a way whereby may be reconciled, where that separation may be taken out of the way. And they also need the application, return unto thy rest, O my soul. Delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and then thirdly, my feet from falling. And that word in the original, in the Hebrew, that also has the connotation to be pushed. Then we think of the enemies of the church and the many snares. And now the psalmist may declare that the Lord has kept my feet from falling. When they may be given to reflect upon all the way that the Lord has led them, and that can be so profitable, then they come to the conclusion, and they are given to see. 1 Peter 1 verse 5, kept by the power of God, and sometime all the snares and the temptations. At the moment, they do not all see it aright, realize it fully, and then there are times when they may be given to look back, that they are given to see how wonderfully and providentially The Lord has watched over them and kept them. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. Are there a few restless souls in my midst? Of course, also concerning temporal things. Much to disturb, much to trouble. May the Lord also help in that regard. But now I am speaking of restless souls. Everything that you have experienced, and when the Lord works, there shall be experience. Matter shall be experienced. But still, not the true and the lasting rest. Oh, then I read of him. A precious invitation. And what a precious invitation that is now for those restless souls. That of no solution. Then I read in Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. Psalter 33, the first four stanzas. O Lord, hear their right, attend my cry, and to my prayer give ear. My prayer that riseth unto thee from heart and lips sincere. And what follows, Psalter 33, the first four stanzas.
Thank you.
Solomon's continued soul exercises concerning the Lord. The Solomon's prayer for the Lord's deliverance. The Solomon's magnifying the Lord's attributes. The Solomon's receive bounties from the Lord. And now thirdly, the Solomon's godly walk before the Lord. Then in verse 9, then we have a second resolution. We have already heard this first resolution, that the psalmist would call upon the name of the Lord as long as he lived. And when it is true in our life, and those are not the worst times, that under special circumstances, that we make resolutions and vows before the Lord, and to learn that we need him as prophet, priest, and king to fulfill those vows. And because the Lord has a people that learn that they are vow breakers. Oh, then what a blessing that he is also priest. That there is forgiveness for such. And now we have heard, return unto thy rest, my soul. And that rest is to be found in the work of a triune God. And then in the life of a child of God, what a seeking, what an earnestness, and what a prayers are sent up, that we may receive a rest. And that is concerning a saving knowledge of the Son of God. And for such, Christ has instituted the Lord's Supper for the strengthening of their faith. But now it is so necessary to realize and to learn and to know that the same effort, it can be for a child of God, when they have received a certain rest, even with a revelation, and how many a child of God can continue with that revelation, but the child of God needs that wedding garment applied. And then there can be a certain rest. But now with the psalmist, he has added a resolution. Oh, he was given to experience that the Lord has kept his feet from falling, that the Lord has kept him from temptations and from deceit, that he was not given to rest upon a false foundation, because there is only one foundation for the church, and that is Jesus Christ and him crucified. But now the psalmist was not idle, that when he came to a certain rest, that he could relax. No, then the psalmist, he has spoken of verse 9. Then he has stated, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Not in the first place, of course, also walk before men. But the Pharisees, it is written, that they were more busy with walking before men than before the Lord. But the psalmist, with his benefits received, that the Lord has dealt so bountifully with him. Oh, in verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits bestowed upon me? Then the psalmist was given to say, Ah, Lord, thou art so worthy. And I do not only desire that rest, but I desire communion. And I love to hear thee speak. And to that end, I will walk, and we read in Amos 3, verse 3, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Thus then in our text, then the psalmist is given to express a certain conformity, desires that go out to the Lord. I will walk, or we read of Enoch, that he walked with God. Read of Noah, that he walked with God. Thus that is a close and tender life. And now he has expressed it in special words. I will walk before the Lord. And he did not say, I will walk before the Lord when I come to church, or when I read my Bible, pray. I will walk before the Lord, that expresses all places, all times, all circumstances. What a profound vow. Lord, thou hast dealt bountifully with me, and now it is my vehement desire that at rest may not be so disturbed. It is true, here below the child lives in enemy country. Nevertheless, that rest may be maintained, and that is in the way of communion and walking before the Lord according to his word, in the way of gratitude. Those are the fruits of that true rest which the child receives. And then the child needs to turn also the ninth verse into petition, because Lord, there is so much that draws away. An evil and carnal and earthly heart. The world and the devil. But Lord, oh, we have heard it in the first verse. I love the Lord. And on account of that love, because when we love someone, then we desire to be in their presence. Then we try to please. Oh, think of a shepherd with a sheep. Then it is good. Oh, then in verse 9, then we may mention Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me in green pastures beside still waters. Ah, blessed those sheep that may be enabled to follow. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. By renewal, in the land of the living. Because, Lord, I have but a short time here below. And there's much to be done. And I have many fellow travelers that need to be aroused to a holy jealousy, that may see that there is a people, and it is true. We read in Isaiah 48, the furnace of affliction. Christ has written to a church in Asia Minor, 10 days of tribulation, many a trial, but even in the midst of trials. Think of Paul and Silas in Acts 16. Feet in the stocks, a raw back, and then they were given to praise and sing praises unto the Lord. Walk before the Lord in the land of the living. The blessed portion of the psalmist. What do we know of it, congregation? Do we know of those matters? We have mentioned the Sabbath evening, love and prayer. Verse 3, that sorrow, trouble, and sorrow. The need for our soul to be delivered. What does it need to be delivered from? Sin, guilt, punishment, power of sin, the dominion of sin and the love to sin. And when the Spirit teaches and uncovers, then we truly become a restless soul. Come a thirsty and hungry one, because that is a people. Righteous that they should miss the Lord, but they cannot miss the Lord. And then they are given to beseech. Ah, those are blessed times. When the prayers may be so real, so tender, and so earnest. Ah, Lord. Psalm 106, verse 4, remember me with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people, O my unconverted fellow travelers. The psalmist has declared that the Lord is gracious, righteous, and merciful. And now for the people of God, the psalm was sung when the Passover was celebrated. And then it was required. The blood on the doorpost, the lamb roasted, all declared in the Lord's Supper. And then the family circles, they were called upon to eat the whole lamb. And that is now the desire of the true child of God, the whole lamb, the whole Christ. Not only as priest, but also as king. Not only for justification, but also sanctification. Ah, that ninth verse. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living, that we find so vividly declared. Psalm 119. Many times called the ABC of the Christian. And now concerning that rest and concerning the faith of the true child of God, many attack, many assault, and to that end, Christ has instituted the Lord's Supper. The signs and the seals, the broken bread, the poured out wine. And then he has said unto his church, do this in remembrance of me. Amen. Let us close. Lord, may we be given to examine each of our hearts, that we lay our hearts beside the psalmist. What he has experienced and what he has expressed. always living desires, and also has received desires, and what he has vowed, because, Lord, thou hast a living church. Thou hast a living people with those living desires for thee and thy righteousness. Remember so the whole congregation. Watch over us in the remainder of this week. Give a prayer for one another. Bring us safely to our dwellings. Keep us from harm and danger. And Lord, do remember all the sick ones amongst us. Forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 77, the stanzas 1 and 5. O Lord, by thee delivered, I thee with songs extol. My foes thou hast not suffered to glory over my fall. And what follows, Psalter 77, the stanzas 1 and 5. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.